Let's get to the bottom of this one. Unspoken truths that I miss one. Tap into the minds of the people. Rather acknowledge before I dismiss one. Atheists, Muslim, Christians, Buddhists, they all got usage. All got perspective. It's a collective. Get to the bottom where the truth is. Where the heart's uncovered. Where you detox from all of the lies you smother. Where them tries could have killed you. Where faith you recover. Yup. Peel off the makeup. We finna take off. Never said it'd be a cakewalk. Meditate till we charged up. Execute goes regardless. Decalcify my pineal. Breaking language barriers, we saw millennials. Planets passing age rotations, down me we owe. So down me we know. Sometimes we can't be slow, that's why my ears open. Every drop you add could complete the ocean. Speak up, play your part too. Been vulnerable, it's an art tool. Reflect on all the juice life taught you. It's on you, tell the truth.
Yeah, we about to have a good conversation. Yeah, let's go. We about to have a good conversation. Yeah, let's go. We about to have a good conversation.
It's AF Graham.
Yeah, let's go.
Listen, yeah.
Aim in the fit so you see in the mirror. Play with your focus and watch it get clear. Polish your crown, turn it up if you wear. You live in the root, release what you're fearing. And watch it all rise, the righteous will hear it. They calling us twisted, I'm not even caring. Because it's unseen, the mind is too barren. They won't even heal it, they pass it to cheering. We over here healing, conversing and listening. Know that the truth isn't always a feeling, but end it with healing and find your beginning. Frequency positive, what you receive. Perception is up to you, what you believe in. What you retrieving, mentally speaking. Life that they breathing, no words from a heathen. Don't know it all, but together undefeated. Conversation rather one of you need. Come fill up your tank before it's depleted. Don't care if you calling on Allah or Jesus. Buddha or Christian, not being facetious. Come to the tribe with the students and teachers. All got a voice, we the ears that'll listen.
We the ears that'll listen. We the ears that'll listen.
Conversation rather one of you need. Come fill up your tank before it's depleted. Don't care if you calling on Allah or Jesus. Buddha or Christian, not being facetious. Come to the tribe with the students and teachers. All got a voice, we the ears that'll listen.
We the ears that'll listen.
We about to have a good conversation. Yeah, let's go. We about to have a good conversation. Yeah, let's go. Praying for truth cause the world is so fickle. Keeping my mental, how clean is a whistle. Attention's a trap that can lead you astray. Steering this ship through the storm and the haze. Real conversations are lost in the greed. Others get lost in the web that it weaves. Sift through the rhetoric, uncover schemes. Knowledge inherited, this is imperative. I got a lot on my mind and I'm sharing it. Apples to oranges, it ain't no comparisons. I'm the type that'll never break character. I'm the type to make memories and cherish them. Trust intuition and doubt of disparity. Pursuing the echoes of wisdom. Chasing that moment of clarity. Conversation rather one of you need. Come fill up your tank before it's depleted. Don't care if you calling on Allah or Jesus. Buddha or Christian, not being facetious. Come to the track, we the students and teachers. All got a voice, who the ears that'll listen. We the ears that'll listen. We the ears that'll listen. Conversation rather one of you need it. Come fill up your tank before it's depleted. Don't care if you calling on Allah or Jesus. Buddha or Christian, not being facetious. Come to the track, we the students and teachers. All got a voice, who the ears that'll listen. Who the ears that'll listen. We the ears that'll listen. Huh?
It's on you, tell the truth.
Peace, peace, everyone. Let's talk about tools. How to communicate better. How to discipline differently. How to fix what feels broken. Very few people talk about what those tools are standing on. Tonight, we ask the question most relationships and families avoid. Are we trying to build with better tools, or are we finally willing to strengthen the foundation? This is the People's Podcast, the ears that will listen and where your opinion matters. Deeper meaning to this moon tortoise. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much, Badger. A foundation in relationships is emotional safety, consistency, honesty, respect, and accountability. A foundation in parenting is presence, predictability, modeling behavior, and repair after harm. Tools only work when trust already exists. Tools fail when fear, resentment, or avoidance sit underneath. Children learn foundations through what they experience, not what they are told. Partners feel secure when actions match words over time. This episode challenges the idea that fixing behavior fixes the relationship. We explore how stability creates change, not the other way around.
Not the other way around.
Let's get into it.
Let's have a good conversation.
We're going to have a great one.
I want to do something a little bit different. I want to do what would you do questions instead of the other questions that we've been asking just for a little while. Because I want to know what people would do in certain situations and certain scenarios. So what would you do if communication tools worked in public conversations yet failed during emotional moments at home? What would you do?
What did I do? Reach out to others for support. That's a rough one. It's almost a what if kind of hypothetical question. But it happens all the time. I mean, that's. So I think what happens is when people get into situations like that, they end up hanging. For me, it was the weird friend coming over to hang out with me. And my childhood was horrible. And I had weird friends coming over because I was, the house was eccentric. There was a lot of art and stuff in it. So they came over for a good ear to listen to and learn something. Reach out.
You know, I guess for a situation like that, because I see it so much constantly in a lot of different people where they can communicate in front of people because they're worried about their image and they want to put on this persona of a certain type of individual that they are. And then, when you're in a private setting and you're in your own home environment, a different side of them comes out because ego and pride. And it's not a male versus female thing. I've seen this with females too. I've seen this with males too. I've seen this in parenting even. The kid is all sweet and nice in public, and then behind doors, the parent too. I've seen this in facilities where I worked at.
I'm different behind closed doors. Once the camera goes off, I'm just out there in the streets. Thank you to everyone commenting or watching, showing up. I see a bunch of activity up there. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining. What would you do? What would you do if you couldn't express yourself at home but only in public?
That's crazy. You'd eventually have to leave or change the dynamics. There's a lot of things. I don't know.
I mean, people at home are different. I'm different at home. At home, I really kind of get concerned about things and find myself, backpedaling or dissociating. It's kind of negative things can happen. So I guess you don't want to expose all the negative things that you go through. You don't want to expose, dropping stuff and all the humiliating stuff. You know, of course, we're a little different behind closed doors. To what degree? And what level of menace?
I don't know. I will fart in public and I will fart at home. I will. I am me no matter where I'm at. I don't think I'm just me at my house because my home isn't my sacred place. My home isn't my safe place. I've never had a home that was my whole entire life. So I've never had to have that opportunity to being able to be comfortable somewhere and just let my guard down. To be honest with you, never. So I couldn't imagine someone who walked in the door and that was their safe spot. Because that's where most of my damage happened.
At home.
Yeah. my whole life.
Welcome, SGF Graham.
Peace, how y'all doing?
We're doing swell.
So the question it was, what would you do? Because we're doing what would you do questions. And it's, what would you do if the communication tools worked in public conversation yet failed during emotional moments at home?
What would you do? What do you mean, what would you do?
Yeah, how would you react? What would you say? What would you do if that the scenario happened to you?
That they never was working in public. The person was putting on a facade or whatever it was, like to look like it's working, but we apparently need to start back over to square one because this image of working is just that, just an image at that point in time.
Yeah, that's what I said basically too. I would say it was just a facade and that I never had a place where my home was my sanctuary. That's where you came in. I never had that place that felt safe. So I don't know what it's like to be me in another place. I had no choice but to be me no matter where I was. I couldn't take a face off and be like, okay, now I'm home. I'm able to be this person. No, I was still at war. I was still in a battlefield. Been like that. So here's your question, SGF Graham. What would you do if consistency was asked for? There's no other better words of using it. Just asked for consistency. Somebody asked you for consistency.
As long as I'm obliged to it, I don't see why not. I mean, it doesn't sound like a hard thing to ask for if it's something I'm willing to do.
Okay.
But I have to be willing, though. I'm not just going to do it just because the person asked. Like, we might have to have a conversation about it. You know, what am I doing that's inconsistent? Why do you consider it inconsistent or whatever? But as long as it's not something outrageous and I feel like, all right, it will better a situation, then yeah, we can go towards consistency on whatever this is.
Right. Is it worthwhile for you to be consistent with it? You know, every side of the street.
Yeah.
Or what is the problem where you feel that there's a lack of consistency? What issue is it? Because if it's something that I feel that is necessary of who I am as an individual, I'm not going to give you that less than me. I'm not going to give you something that's not me. You want me to consistently tolerate your bullshit? I'm not going to do that.
No thanks.
So I love how he worded it. I love how he was able to use both sides of that, saying it all depends on what we're talking here.
That's why he's a damn integral member of our team.
Because I'm right along with you. You had me all the way from hello. Yeah, all depends.
Hey, I got to make sure it makes sense on both sides before I agree with it.
I feel that.
You mentioned something, Badger. You mentioned something, and I think it's kind of important. Do you like the confidence to actually fart in public? That says a lot about you. Says a lot about somebody. And I think it is really situational, right? I mean, if you feel confident to do that, where people will accept it, open arms, noses, then yeah.
It depends, right? Too. I'm not going to do it in an Uber car with just me and the driver. Like, I don't want, he's my driver. I don't want him to kill me.
Right.
That's suffocation.
In a small enclosed area, like fart, like nobody's watching, of course. Yeah.
I'm finna let them know I'm about to kill them. My bad.
Yeah, I don't like it very much. Hey, look at the fart in the current conversation. We got two more people watching. Hey, guys, thank you for joining us. It's not all about that.
But no, I was talking to Moon Torch before we started the show, and I farted, and he said, what was that? We get that out before. I said, hey, if it happens during the show, it happens during the show, too. I'm not going to hold none of that in.
No, that's okay. It's totally natural. It's an important part in relationships, too. If y'all are cool on that level to do that, like, that's either a turning point or people at home, is that something you start with? Because that's, it's communication, whether it's funny or not.
You're no, cool listen, to do that before, in front of each other, before I even have a conversation with somebody, there's a couple rules I ask. And I don't, they're not rules, but there's a couple things I want people to know ahead of time about me, and I would like to know about them before we start talking. Like, if number one, did you get the vaccine? That's huge on my thing. That's the first thing I ask you. And then I'll say, number two, I'll say, how do you feel about this? Do you believe in this, or is this? And then I'll be number three. I'd let them know right ahead. I'm extremely gassy. I eat a lot of plant-based foods. I eat a lot of vegetables and organic stuff. I have a condition where it's hereditary in my DNA, where we are really gassy individuals. I am not going to sugarcoat that, let you know. I don't shave my legs. I don't shave my arms. It's who I am.
The gassy thing should be number two, but yeah, no, I'm proud of you.
It can't be number two, because I need to know some things first. I need to know about the vaccine first and foremost. And then I need to know, really, for real, what they think on life. I need to know a few things first.
Yes, that's awful provocative, believe me. There's more better questions.
And then I let them know that if they're down to everything they like so far, I let them know I'm extremely gassy. That's how it goes, because I ain't hiding it. SGF Graham, is there something that you would tell people right off the rip about you so that they just knew?
I probably show them more than that. They probably tell me about me. They might be wrong on a lot. They call me arrogant and stuff or whatever, but not really. I mean, people can pretty much, you know, they say I'm blunt and stuff. I don't think I'm blunt, but they tell me I'm blunt and stuff, so I don't think I'm a secret no matter where I go.
Nope.
That'd be a nice way. What do we got here? I'm always gassy with the facts.
Moon Tortoise, what would you do if conflict revealed fear instead of anger?
If conflict revealed fear instead of anger for me?
Yeah.
It's used to. I really... And I'm not talking about, like, swinging fists on each other. Man, that's a whole different thing. I think, actually, you plateaued at that point. But avoiding conflict, yeah, I don't know. If it turned into anger instead of that, it used to be anger. You know, I went through a lot of changes, right? I mean, there's fear and then anger. And then I think one of the best ways to encounter conflict is to not have it at all by keeping open communication. And if you don't think that's possible, try it, because it does help when you're not being ulterior, especially all the time about huge things. So fear and anger are pretty strong emotions, you know, primary up there. And if you let those take control, they're gonna do everything. But I said a little bit of fear in moderation keeps your head out of, like, apex predators' mouths and stops you from falling off structures and stuff. So I don't think fear, anger, response to conflict are very healthy, but they're often the first things we go to. I don't know what I would do. It's like a hypothetical where I try as hard as I can every day to do the opposite of the question.
You know, and I can respect fear more than I could anger in a situation. I really love the authenticity of being able to control that emotion, you know, because that's the harder one to control is anger. I think fear comes natural, and that to be afraid of a lot of things. I think that that's something that you can just overcome gradually. Anger, though, fuels you all the way up, like for real, like fuels your soul.
And what's more dangerous?
Anger, I think, out of fear.
I think that's fair.
What do you think's more dangerous, SGF Graham? Fear or anger?
Coming from me, fear. If I'm scared of you, you can't be on the same plane. If I'm scared of it, it's got to be figured out. Like my fear factor is forward motion. I'm not the run or nothing of none of that. I'm angry. I'm going to leave before I do something irrational. But if this fear evolved, I got to get to it ASAP because that ain't like me.
See, I like how you said that, because I'm looking at it as fear is something that can be talked about. Anger, there's no talking. When someone's angry, there's no talking about nothing. That's stuck in their head. That's like a lit fuse just waiting to torch something else. I get it, though. I get what he's coming from, too. I guess because I try not to fear nothing, because what's meant to happen shall happen, whether I'm afraid of it or not. It's gonna happen.
That's why I gotta move forward. I mean, that's not necessarily it's gonna happen, but shit, nothing fear you. You should be cautious and aware of whatever, you know, like just because I'm not scared of heights don't mean I'm finna go jump off a cliff or whatever, you know, like I'm just not scared of heights or whatever. But I know that I fear swimming just because I've almost drowned one time or whatever. And I know that eventually that's something that I have to move forward to, forward through and get it over with.
Yeah. The diver story. Did we talk about that on the show? Where the guy, there's a cook, I'm like a Nigerian tugboat. The boat capsizes. The guy goes underneath the water and he spends like 60 hours in an upside down capsized boat trying to find his way out with like a can of Coke for nourishment. And they pulled him out of the boat. And I guess he had a huge car accident where he pulled his, went out the bridge of the car, had to pull his friend out of the car in the water. And then the guy ends up becoming a professional diver. You know, and just completely and totally conquering his fears. And it's pretty damn, I don't the water in there. And every year I lose a foot of height on the climb.
Signal makes you lose half of what you say.
Hey, after all that though, from what I heard or whatever, yeah, that was a no choice but to conquer your situation. And well, I don't know what I'd have did in that. Yeah, they would have found me in the first air pocket I would have found. They would have found me still right there, balled up in the circle.
Yeah, he was doing poorly. I mean, he was doing good, but scared to death. Obviously, you're talking to death at that point.
Yeah.
You're glitching bad. Oh, thank you, Kendall. We love you.
I'm shaking my head like, nah, it's not working. It's not working.
Did we miss the last message? Was that supposed to go up there? I'm not sure.
I put it up there.
Did you?
Yeah.
No,
I didn't put it up there. I'm not talking about that on the live.
Kendall's sometimes really, really provocative, spicy.
I know. So I had a different one that I was going to talk about. It says, let me see. If a partner said they felt unsafe opening up, even though no harm was intended, how can you patch that up? How can you help them feel safe again if your intent wasn't to cause to make them unsafe? How can you get them to feel safe again?
For me? For you?
No, that was mine, but I'm just still thinking inside, like outward. Like, I don't know how you can get them feel safe again. Consistency is the only thing I can think of over and over, showing them. You can't tell them to feel safe if that's something that's one of their triggers, is you know, feeling unsafe. Does that sound about right? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's really, really hard to repair trust when it's broken. I mean, I don't care who you are. It's something that has to be done. And usually time is the cure. And that's some really terrible if you don't have any patience. So trust is a slow process sometimes.
What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like you gotta use discernment
on that one, because it also could be the flee away of how to get out of everything or whatever. So you have to use your discernment how often it comes up. Well, to understand how genuine it is, or is it something they use just to cop out of something that they really just don't want to talk about it, and they don't want to tell you that they don't want to just talk about it. So, you know, a lot of these questions or whatever, like, I feel like they be kind of like situational. And not nothing that would be more universal, if that makes sense.
No, I get it. Yeah. A lot of them are situational. You have to be in that situation to be able to receive it. But because you never know what someone else is growing through at the moment. A lot of people are dealing with a lot of things, and we don't know where they're at. No one's asking us questions to help them figure it out, and no one's coming to us with their story. So,
please jump in if you're listening.
I think it being personalized and situational, I think that's probably what's going to help. Because a lot of them, with this part right here, I could relate to at one time, if not now. So I don't know.
I think we're slowly, visibly becoming healed to the point to where we just might have to really start hunting some guests down. Because we looking at these questions like, we don't go through that anymore. I don't know. You know?
I get it. That's why I like to throw out a few things here and there that are kind of pertinent to the question. Like, come up with a question. Let's come up with a question to ask each other, you know?
I'll show you the answer in all past tense. I'm like, I gotta think, how was I 5 years ago? Like I have to think like that.
No, what's more important though? Is the foundation important or the tools? What's more important? You can't build without tools, SGF Graham.
Did you need the tools for the foundations? Because I mean, you definitely need a foundation, but your tools, you might have needed to do some digging to get beneath the ground so you can make a firm foundation, you know, speaking in housing format. Like, so I guess it depends on what type of foundation, how solid you want your foundation to be. I believe that just as equal.
Okay.
Might need the tools first, unless you're a badger and you can dig with your hands and stuff like that.
You know what I said first, Badger? You asked me this before, way before, like last week. Like, do you need the tools first or the foundation? I'm like, well, if I was going to put a foundation in, I would want, you know, some shovels, a couple grade rakes, a couple wheelbarrows. I would want a tamper for sure. I'm not hand tamping the damn thing. I mean, I would need a lot of tools to put in a good foundation. Of course, you meant metaphorically, and I would say the foundation would be good communication.
I think the best way to have a beautiful foundation, and I don't know if this is a tool neither, submission. And I think you have to be submissive, both parties. I think equally have to be submissive, because high expectations and this ego and want, what did you have a vision in your head that this idealistic thing that's supposed to be doesn't come to play. It throws everybody out of executive state and gets them back into their childlike learning state. You know what I'm saying?
I think that
submissive is important. I think that you equally have to be submissive of each other. I think it's more than just communications. I think it's more than just listening. I think it's putting all bullshit aside. Whatever you thought it should be, get rid of that. Whatever your ideal of what it should be, get rid of that. Whatever you thought life should have done to you and should have played out, get rid of that.
What about balance? Because traditionally, when there's a submission, there's a submissive party, there's a dominant party, right?
But if you're both equally submissive to each other, you're allowing that everything, including the dominancy of such. Because nobody's above the other. It's balance.
Oh.
SJF Graham, do you see it or no?
No.
Okay. And that's okay. That's just how I perceive it. I honestly think that a lot of people are worried about being the leader, worried about being the pride animal, worried about being whoever they're worried about being, that they can't submit to the fact that teachers are students sometimes and students are teachers sometimes.
I don't know if it's so much.
I have expectations of what I'm going to soak in, what I'm going to learn, and where I want this situation to lead. I also use my brain, and I think with the childlike mind, and if you don't give a child nothing to imagine and move forward on, even if it's Puff the Magic Dragon or Barney or whatever, if you don't give them nothing to imagine, then that's going to be a stagnant mind. So I can't go in a situation without an expectation. Rather, we talked about the expectation, which is probably the healthier thing to do. What do you expect out of this? I can tell you what I expect out of this, and we can see what type of level of friendship or level of communication we need to carry on. But I got to have some type of expectation, or I'm going to start thinking, what the hell are we doing around each other all the time? Like, I feel like you have to be able to use me, and I need to be able to use you. Just don't misuse me. But if we can't use each other, then that's probably when BS start happening, because why are we around?
And for me, I have no expectations of no one. I allow people to be what they're supposed to be. I don't expect them to be anything than what they're supposed to be. Whatever the case may be, people put themselves in the position they want to be in your life, how they want to be in your life. And I don't expect anything less from them.
No, I expect them to be truthfully who they are, but also expect that I have expectations for who I be around. So be truthful to who you are, so I don't have no false representation around me of what I want to go through with my life. And I'm going to be truthful to who I am, so you're not misconstrued on who you thought I was and for whatever situation or whatever. So yeah, I expect you to truthfully be you, so I can make the best decision that I need to make.
Don't get me wrong with this either, and don't get me twisted a little, because I will remove myself if you are not what I... Okay, I don't expect you to be anything other than what you are, but what you are is not what I want in life. I will remove myself too. I'm not gonna accept whatever it is.
I watched someone attend a bunch of metal concerts with their significant other once, and they lived for years like this. And they finally had to divulge to them after years that they cannot stand metal. They couldn't stand heavy music. And it's like putting in all that time and irritation in your eardrums. You know, you could have said that right off rip. You know, and people live with things like, we're not obliged to be completely identical or have the same tastes, like the same things. And that, I've seen that lead to problems down the line, right? I would want someone to be honest with me about even negative things, about things that we don't click on or something, because even if you don't click on things, you can still get along with somebody. It's just when there's a bunch of secrecy and stuff that you don't understand, like, no one wants surprises, not like that.
About 95% of the time, I say, by the time somebody tell me really whatever was the issue for whatever lack of communication we was having or whatever, I get probably more pissed off than I was just whatever I was assuming, because it don't be that serious to me. And I can't believe that they let it fester on in their head that long.
Facts. I agree. I had
a lot of stuff that don't happen.
I had a conversation with someone dear to me, near and dear to my heart. If it wasn't for that individual, we would not be sitting here today. Not like this, not with this name, not nothing. And I was speaking to that individual, and we were coming up with a name for another show that we're going to start doing here shortly. And I added names to it because I wanted it to represent something. They said that it wouldn't roll perfectly off of the tongue if it wasn't named like this. And I said, that is not my battle. I said, it isn't. I said, I just am given something that I've been doing for years that I felt that I was trying to keep an image of and whatnot. But that honestly isn't my battle. And I let them know that I love them like I love myself. And I'm not going to discuss more than what I gave my input. And that's how, and it wasn't, that's not what okay. And this is what you feel. And I agree with you. I agree completely with you. And I said all that to say, sometimes with people in your life, you can have a beautiful conversation without it being a battlefield, without it being picking sides, without it being, we now have to get our swords out and our daggers and stuff, you know, to protect ourselves, because we're now in battle. When all we were doing, what do you care? Carry a what?
I carry a rubber chicken. It's less lethal.
That's funny. I'm going to have you read this because it's long. Kendall wrote a lot. Greetings, oh, Empress. Okay. Greetings, Empress. Greetings.
Hello. I'll read. Let me see here.
You might be at the comment.
Okay, I gotcha. I used to have high, this is by Kendall Cobb. I used to have high expectations on how life was supposed to be versus now. I don't ask for much, just out of mutual respect and understanding. Now I just go with whatever it is we're all dealing with these days. Each day is different. I tend to keep a lot to myself. The fact that I had to find myself and find my own terms, 100%, people will always talk shit about them, even you, even when you're not in the same room. Well, Kendall, that is true a lot of the time.
Remove the people that are like that to you. I could barely hear what he said, and I can't really see. Towards the end,
did I glitch out?
Yeah, at the end.
So the it's driving me nuts. I don't know when I glitch out.
I shake my head, but you're not looking at me. So I don't know what to do. I go like this.
Let me screw my eyes up. Hold on.
I go like this.
No. I can't do that for too long and my head explodes.
The fact I had to find myself and find my own terms. People will always talk. Oh.
Yes.
Maybe that happens. And that's when, I don't know, remove your circle. Make your circle smaller. Listen, if any squares are trying to fit in my circle, they're not going to be able to. We got circles over here.
Now I got this horrifying notion that no one hears the deeper meaning. My deeper meaning is lost.
Sometimes it is.
Son of a diddly. Don't believe that.
Yes and true. Yes. So, SJF Graham, do you find that conversations are battlegrounds to certain people?
Yep. What more did you want me to say? That is a big, fat, all caps, bold letters, italic, with the line through it for emphasis. Yep.
How can we fix that?
That is an answer that I do not know, but yeah, it ain't no, but I do not know. I don't know that answer.
Is it feelings?
Is it what?
Feelings. People have their feelings involved in the conversation?
I think it's past habits. Negative or positive past habits that were built from past situations. Rather, it's a defensive mechanism, or they was always in control, or whatever it was. It's usually don't have nothing to do with the current that's going on. Because it's usually something that you probably saw at the beginning and you probably ignored it, or whatever, you know. So it didn't have nothing to do with the current. It was just, maybe they never been checked on it. You know, maybe they felt like that they won arguments or shut the person up like that. You know, I can't name the reasons why anybody would, you know, do that, but it happens a lot, like super lot.
I don't have an issue with control, and I don't have to always be right. A lot of times I'm called out on things and I admit it. Moon tortoise, don't I?
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it because it is what it is. Like, sometimes we're too close to the situation that we tend to forget that we could be the problem.
Like, I know you're kryptonite. I just do.
Like, it really don't be, for the most part, it's not really a right or wrong competition thing. It's reciprocation. Rather, it's, I heard you, now hear me out, or my feelings are just as important as yours, or whatever, you know, something of that nature, or whatever. Not necessarily wrong or right, or maybe because people get understanding and agreeance confused, like they're one and the same. Like, I understand, that's why I know I disagree with you, or whatever, you know, like. They fail to realize that also comes with understanding. Like, just because I understand you don't mean that I agree. And then that becomes another defensive mechanism. So it's a lot of parts that can play into why that situation will come up.
Do you think that it is a respect thing? Moon Tortoise, do you think it's a respect thing of yourself? Or respect thing of the person you're with?
To reason why
the conversation is a battlefield.
Is it a respect thing?
Is it too much respect for yourself and not enough respect for the individual? Or the other way around?
Oh, it kind of depends on a lot, right? I don't feel like the person I live with right now, it's a battlefield at all. outside of the realm of just mundane everyday occurrences that make life kind of a battlefield that you got to deal with, about how you deal with it. Before and with a lot of people, I don't think people are stopping, are able to, or can afford to stop, smell the roses, to enjoy life, to appreciate sunrises and sets, to appreciate each other, where they're not in a big rush. I think the world moves too damn fast. I think everything moves fast. I don't even see parents spending a lot of time with their kids anymore, to be honest with you. So I think communication is kind of an afterthought. It's only like, it's almost like a meme or a reel. Shit. Friends I used to be so close with, and many of them, I only talk to them in reel form now. They send me a reel, I laugh, react it, they expect the same in kind. Of course, I talk.
That's terrible.
And I like the reels. One, they're really cool. Like, some of them are really awesome. You learn stuff, you laugh, you know, it's good. But I think a lot of people's communication has been completely reversed to texting. I can't talk to someone in texting format, actually. That makes me not viable, economically viable. But I'm still here. I'm still talking. I don't know. It's weird out there for me.
Ask Jeff Graham.
This is going to come out arrogant to a lot of people, but I can only speak on my situations. So much respect for you that for some reason they lose some type of respect for themselves, and they blame you. They have this inner feeling about you. And the reason I say that, because it be the same people, where it's not the same one person or whatever, it's the same people, plural, consistent. You know, something that happens on a consistent basis with me. The same people that tells me how smart and spiritual and be amazed at the few things that I can do when they get close enough to me to learn those things, be the same ones that'll tell me I don't know shit, I ain't shit, and, you know, all of that. So, and I'm like, but you know what I can really do. You know what I'm capable of. Like, so then I had to start learning, not like, okay, for some reason you saw my light. It made you feel like yours got dim all of a sudden. And now it's an issue. Like, I really had people that like witchcraft type stuff that shouldn't even be around me. And they couldn't help but to come out and say that they was literally trying to hex me, and they couldn't, and they started praising certain things about me, and then the next day it was like a challenge, like, oh snap, I never ran into nobody like you, now it's a challenge, or whatever, you know, wherever I was dimming her light because she didn't have whatever control she felt like she should have or whatever. So in my case, like I said, or whatever, it's almost like they respect me so much that for some reason it feels like I'm dimming their light. And now I'm Mr. Know-it-all. Now, oh, you think this, they start feeling that way now or whatever. So that's just, you know, my take on it.
Now, I can receive that too. I can only speak on also the things that I know personal that have happened to me. I can't speak on other people. I can't do what if. I can't give you an example of something that I've never lived. I think that a lot of people don't know what self-respect really truly looks like. And then when they start seeing it within somebody, that's when they start picking it apart and trying to get that other person to be like them, feel like them, look like them, act like them. And it becomes a thing that they don't respect themselves properly, that they don't know how to respect you. And that's not an excuse. we're going to talk about soon, coming up in the next couple of weeks, on, you know, nothing is habit. Nothing is a tendency if you're aware of it. Then it becomes a choice. And I think a lot of people that I personally know make excuses for actions without just being forward for what they are and calling it what it is and just realizing what it is and now overcoming that. Don't let that no longer become a plea or whatever to say, you know. But yeah, I think that it's respect. I think they don't really know how to respect themselves. And that they want that respect in the conversation to say, I told you so, or I knew this was going to happen. When you're right, it did. That's all you'll get from me. Because I don't know what people want. They want to be heard. They want to be valued. Yet the equal part's missing. You notice that moon tortoise in a lot of things. People miss that equal part.
I notice a lot of things. I listen a lot.
I don't know. It's feelings. People are working on feelings a lot. And they tend to forget that feelings are temporary. They're not permanent unless you make them permanent. What about parenting? Do you think that your child's behavior changed when your availability did? Like, do you think a child that would change towards their parents when their parents are no longer available for them?
You asking me?
Yeah.
I thought you were asking us, Jeff. Condense that down one more time to the end, so I can.
So it says, if your child's behavior changed when your availability changed.
I think it's absurd how little time people actually spend with their kids. I don't know. It's really important to be around there. What can I say? I could talk about this in circles forever. We should just go back to a hunter-gatherer society for a while and really spend a lot of time getting to know each other. I think that's kind of diminished in our fast-moving culture. And it's not good necessarily. I think what I've been hearing on the show, on the other show on Monday, is that, you know, I grew up, I was raising myself. A lot of the kids I knew are raising themselves. We need feelings, like Kittle's talking about. What's it like now? Are the video games raising everybody? I think kids are just being raised by the phones, maybe, but I hear a lot of awesome stuff out of their mouth. They sure are thinking a lot. But we got the phones and the technology. I don't know if it's helping communication. Maybe it is on the phones.
SJF Graham, do you think that availability isn't there for the child, that the child changes?
Yep. Cause and effect.
Yeah.
Once responsibility is taken for that action, and people take advantage of things like the telephone and stuff, since your kid always on it, you know, guess what? That means that you can respond to all my texts and phone calls because you always on it. Yeah, so, you know, it works. It works both ways. Well, you know, I can sit here and be sad that my kid's 6 hours away one way and 17 hours away the other way, or I can do as much as I can I understand the situation wasn't perfect anyway, so.
You know, this question is, how do children feel stable when their foundation is unstable? They too feel unstable. I do believe they feel the foundation. They, whether you talk about it, your adult business with your children, or you worry in front of them, they know what's going on. And they take that with them and worry about it too. I've seen it firsthand in so many different scenarios. And you got to separate the fact of that that is not your friend until they're old enough to become your friend. SGF Graham.
Yeah. I had to understand, me and the mother of my two youngest, me and her saw it around the same time that whenever I get super busy on my grind and the communication is lesser, the youngest of my two shows out. At school and not necessarily at home, but everywhere else he show out. And I had to look at it one day or whatever, because it's, you know, like, oh, it's guaranteed I'm gonna call you and check you, whatever. And after I call and check you for what just happened or whatever, we also gonna talk about everything else or whatever. Like, we're not gonna end the conversation on what you did. That is not gonna happen. I don't care how bad it was or whatever. I don't care if I feel like I got to talk to you like a grown man for the next 5 minutes or whatever. I'm still not ending this conversation with, you know, I'm not ending it without saying I love you, and I'm not ending it about talking about something else that's going to change your, that last conversation you had with dad before you got off the phone. Like, that's mm-hmm. not going to happen or whatever, you know. But I'm going to let you know that I really mean what I mean. And I had noticed that whenever he gets that phone call from me, he's good for the next 3 months. Well, rather, you know, of course I'm calling in between that, but rather I didn't or did or whatever, yeah, I'm not going to hear nothing else that he did bad or whatever. So with me taking accountability on what I recognize, you know, now I call and text probably maybe more than they dang friends do or whatever, you know. Now, I ain't going to go that far, but, you know, whatever, like, I try to communicate as much as I can now, knowing that he didn't know how to ask, but he knew the reactions to get me back into communication. So at least that's how I feel, you know.
Would you say, Moon Tortoise?
I like that aspect of technology, is it really does. Sometimes it actually completely does its intended purpose, which is sweet. It really brings us together and allows us to communicate in a lot more different ways. When it's used properly, it's wonderful.
You know, I learned not to talk and text my son so much, and then he'll respond. I learned that because of his age, and because he's a husband now and a father now, and he wants do his own thing and make his own mistakes and whatnot. If I can go, probably almost 2 weeks without responding or texting to him, and then when I do, he'll respond and text back. But if I overdo it, he has to have that wall up.
Yeah, the options.
Damn, they got 30 minutes.
Yeah,
minutes to respond.
He's going to be 34 in April. I don't know what I could do.
Even when they grown, they get 45 minutes to respond. Like, I'm keeping that rain on or whatever, whether they like it or not. Whether cooperate and respond or get embarrassed and always look like a kid in front of your friends. One or the other.
Yeah. I don't have that. There's no way I could. You don't have friends or no? I don't know. I don't have that. But yeah, so how do children, Moon Tortoise, are rules being enforced without connection? Do you think that people just want to enforce rules with their children without that connection?
Well, one thing I noticed growing up was one of the most damaging things you can do with a child or animal is hollow threats. There's no penalty for anything. So you're just enforcing negative behavior and action and reaction. There's no consequence. I've seen that backfire 1,000 times. Just hollow anything. Be present for your child, even when they're bad. And being present for right when they're bad, that's the good formative stuff that they'll carry over into adulthood, and it'll blossom into a good message. And they'll pass it on to the next person who's pissed off to hear it, and henceforth, the cycle continues. So, yeah, that's like the best way I've seen how you kind of describe that.
SJF Graham, what's your opinion?
Ask that question again.
So it was, do you think that rules are being enforced without connection?
Yeah, because like case point, my oldest son up in New York, he had threatened to go get his dad's firearm and bring it back to school. This was in the elementary. And of course, I'm 15 hours away at that moment. They called me. And, you know, I called him real calm because I'm 15 hours away. You know, me getting loud and belligerent with him on the phone is not worth it. We need to talk about what you did, why you did, why you was doing it. You know, everything. We need to come all the way down to a conclusion and the epiphany that this is never going to happen again, whatever, you know, or whatever. And then once we came to that agreement, once he calmed down, he realized I'm not doing no yelling at him. This is more of a real conversation that we need to have, because you don't need to ever do this again. If it wasn't for the facts of your dad, you might have been expelled if I didn't know how to communicate with them over the phone. So I need to talk to you, and I need to know what's going on to even make you get to this point up there. And then after we talked about all that, I was like, now, you know, when I see you, it could be tomorrow. It could be 8 years from now. When I see you, you know you're getting in trouble for this, right? He, yes, sir. It was a whole 18 months. Well, that it was before I saw him, or when I went up there or whatever, and I was like, oh, happy, you know, gave him a hug and stuff or whatever. And I was like, oh, come show me your room or whatever, and he showed me his room, and I was like, I told my other son to go downstairs, and I reprimanded my son for what he did, and I told him to come downstairs when he calms down, and he came downstairs, and he immediately put his arm around me, and he was like, Dad, don't ever leave again. You know, like he wasn't even worried about the whooping. It was more like, I kept my word and I'm still the calm person, but I meant what I said.
Yeah.
That's that hollow threat that he was talking about. Yeah, I don't do those neither. I promise you. My son knows. That's probably why he's the way he is with me, because my voice is probably ringing in his ear all the time of what he should and shouldn't do. And that he gets really close to me, and if I get a flinch too quick, he'll duck. So, like, PTSD or something, because he knows I will mess him up. Like, he already knows when we have a conversation, and I do see him on the video chat, and he does talk to me. I seen him with a cigarette in his mouth the other day, and he took it out of his mouth while he's talking to me. And I said, don't put that back in there. And he did it out of respect, because he knows he wouldn't hear the end of it if he did. And it's not because I could do anything because he's far away. It's just because he knows.
Right. He's going to light right up.
I will continue. I don't stop. And you're going to hear about it every time you speak to me about how nasty that is. So you might as well just put it down so we can conversate. But But yeah, he already knows. So I don't know. That's probably why. But like, we had a conversation. He didn't say anything about me being on the phone and everything like that because he knew that I didn't call him. They called me, and he's not going to disrespect the fact that I didn't want to be in that conversation in the first place. So let's do a reflection question real quick before we do the positive post. Go ahead, SJ friend. What were you going to say?
No, let's move to reflection on getting past things. Yeah, let's build on it.
Okay. So reflection on conversation or questions for listeners. What are you trying to fix with tools that actually need a stronger foundation? Think about that when you hear this show. Think about it and then respond. Let us know. We'd like to know. What do you think about what are you trying to fix with tools that actually needs a stronger foundation?
Esther,
what do you think?
So I'm glad I waited because I would have just been repeating myself. I wouldn't have, what I was about to say would be the same answer for what you just asked. This little tool that I learned called applied behavior, with applying the behavior even to yourself. I use it on myself. I definitely use it on myself. But if people focus on what we like to call in applied behavior analysis, DRO, and DRO is when you focus on everything but the negative. Because it's easy to focus on the negative, whatever, you know, but it's almost like a sports player, or let's say my shoulder, because I have a strained muscle strain in my shoulder. I can focus on that. Or I can focus on building my shoulder up to where all the strands around it get stronger, and eventually that strain catches up, and what was a problem, I'm not even worried about anymore. But as long as I focus on that problem, I'm going to stay at the gym thinking that that's going to heal me, focusing on that problem. So if people use the DRO technique, which is focus on everything else but that negative, so, and that's not ignoring the problem, whatever, but that's also recognizing that there's positives there. And it's also making you recognize that if there's no positives there, then maybe it's just time for you to leave. But focus on the positives and build that up, and watch that negative, watch them few negatives become more tolerable to talk about, because you're not always focusing on that person's, see, you did that again, you did this again, you did that again, or whatever. You know, balance out the, you know, for every negative thing you want to focus on, find two things to focus on that's positive with the situation or whatever, you know, balance that out. So this can become a building thing versus two North Poles, steady bumping heads, retracting from each other.
Okay. All right, Moon Tortoise, what's your opinion on that one? Reflection question for listeners. What are you trying to fix with tools that actually need a stronger foundation?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to think about it. I'm just going to think about it.
Okay. So what did your dad say something before we do positive quotes?
Oh, yeah, do that. Hopefully I don't glitch out. All right, I'm going to get closer. This is number 427 in a series of in-depth reports from the early Marinian Bureau of Clavicinists. Do you realize that some of the greatest men in all of history have owned and enjoyed vacuum cleaners? Yes, my dear reader, it is not fabulous. Moses and Zeus each have one. Even Monteverde was reported to have been seen near the Kirby factory. No doubt Hitler probably has two or three in his closet, though it is nothing to be ashamed of. You can bet your ass John Lennon has a couple. That's it.
Your dad tickles my funny bone. It's so humorous.
Strange man.
Anyway, so what's the positive message, SGM Graham?
You're going to come back to me on that one.
I got a positive message about SGF Ram. I found out today on TikTok that he's got about 7 songs that people could use and pick from to do TikTok reels and whatnot with. Go search SGF, all caps, SGF, Graham, capital G, RAHAM, and you will find at least 7 songs on there that you could do TikTok and reels with. They're pretty dope.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
That's the positive message I found out today about SGF Graham. And I am going to be utilizing the heck out of that. So, what's your positive message, Moon, for Tess?
I don't know. The conversation seemed like a battlefield. Maybe it's time to hang out in different barracks.
Yeah.
Change your crowd up.
Ashe. Also, another positive message that I've learned, that we are going to be dropping our magazine as a digital magazine mid-March. Our spring quarter, and we'll be able to have our magazine published as a digital magazine, and we're going to have articles in it of more than just music. It's going to be articles of artists. It's going to be important topics. It's going to be questions like, you know, the reflection question tonight. It's going to be mental health stuff. It's going to be stuff about Moon Tortoise, Henry Schuhl has a show. It's going to be stuff about our teammates. It's going to be stuff about our brand. And then we're going to be starting a show on Saturdays here shortly called Heavy is the Crown. And it's going to be about mental health for men. Black men, mental health. Just want to put that out there. SGF Graham's going to be on it. I'm trying to get Juicy on it. A couple other artists that I know are going to be on it. And then we got the Lips of Children Speak doing really well every Monday at 8 p.m. All of our shows are at 8 p.m. except for Twisted Radio. So, yeah, that's another positive thing I found out. That's my positive stuff. Listen, either you learn how to battle in the battlefield or get off the battlefield. It's a choice, though, because at a certain time in life, it's not worth it. Free yourself from yourself. None of this is worth it. Feelings, they're all temporary. Nothing's forever. If you give it a house and a forever home and allow it become something, it's a choice you made. Be in the now, because you never know what tomorrow holds. It's not here. It's not even promised at all. SGF Graham, positive message.
My ADHD is so on fire right now. I got like a gazillion things in my head that I can't narrow it down to.
Okay.
I feel you.
Alrighty. So, Moon Tortoise, will you read the outro?
Certainly. Let's see if I can do this here. Here we go. Oh, I might be able to do this. Let me tell you. Outro. Tools can be learned. Scripts can be memorized. Methods can be copied. Foundations take intention, humility, and time. In relationships and parenting, the work that matters most often happens before the words are spoken and after the moment passes. If this conversation resonated with you, share it with someone who is building alongside of you. This is the People's Podcast, where the healing starts underneath the surface.
With the ears that were listening, where your opinion matters. Peace, everyone.
Peace, rain is fine.
Ukraine and Spain.
Yes.
Let's get to the bottom of this one. Unspoken the truth that I miss one. Tap into the minds of the people. Rather acknowledge before I dismiss one. Atheists, Muslim, Christians, Buddhists, they all got usage. All got perspective. It's a collective. Get to the bottom where the truth is. Where the hearts uncover. Where you detox from all of the lies you smother. When them tries to kill you. Or faith you recover. Yup. Peel off the makeup. We finna take off. Never said it'd be a cakewalk. Meditate till we charged up. Execute goes regardless. Decalcify my pineal. Breaking language barriers, we saw millennials. Planets passing, age rotations, down me we owe. So down me we know. Sometimes we can't be slow, that's why my ears open. Every drop you add could complete the ocean. Speak up, play your part too. Been vulnerable, it's an art tool. Reflect on all the juice life taught you. It's on